welcome. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com has scheduled to have Dean Clifford on, and I didn't know whether he was going to show up, so I brought on Suzanne Posel, and Dean has just arrived, and it's great. So I guess we're going to turn it into a wee bit of a roundtable discussion for a segment or two, because Suzanne needs to get out some very important information about Syria, but we'll see. Suzanne, do you actually just want to leave, or have you interviewed Dean before?
I have never interviewed Dean. I didn't want to leave, but Dean, I would.
Dean, welcome.
I'm okay with whatever's going on.
Okay, that's good. Would you be able to turn your speakers down as well? That would be really nice with the old echo.
I shouldn't have an echo right now. I'm actually using a very expensive mic, and I got my headphones on.
Hmm.
Okay. You know what? If it's too high, I hope it's not clipping out. Hang on, I'll turn the volume down a little bit.
No, it seems fine. It seems fine. It seems to have resolved itself. Well,
is it good?
Yeah. Let's turn this into a wee bit of a roundtable discussion then, I guess. It is 9/11, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, it's a day of remembrance. I remember I talked to an American about this. You know, it's like in some kind of a filthy flat in uptown Auckland this one time. And this dude just come over from the States. I think he's from Cali. And talked to him about 9/11. He says, yeah, man, it was a black day. And he knew nothing about 9/11, you know. He actually believed that jet fuel could evaporate steel and poof concrete into particularized dust. It's just, how many years does it take before
people
the truth is going to come out?
Anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's true, isn't it? You ever heard of Ripley's Believe It or Not?
Yes.
Yeah, there's bound to be somebody stupid enough to believe any stupid story. You know, snake oil, whatever. Incidentally, that's how the Rockefeller fortune got made. Did you know that? Big Bill Rockefeller was a traveling snake oil salesman. I'm not making it up.
I thought they all were. Their brilliance came when they got us to travel to them so they could sell their snake oil.
Yeah, well, actually, the brilliance came when I think Big Bill Rockefeller was the Primarch of the family, decided that it was really just a lot of work, you know, to scam towns by himself, you know, one at a time. So he employed a whole bunch of con men to scam whole regions at a time, and took a cut from all of their scammings and so on and so forth. And that's how he amassed a massive fortune, by scamming the Old West.
Yeah, and they were originally financed by Rothschilds too.
Allegedly. Now, today, I'm not sure if we're going to juggle this balance here, because Dean's got a very different field of expertise to Suzanne. Suzanne wants to talk about Syria, and Dean's talking about being free and legalese speak and messing with the establishment that way and the court system and what have you. And you even got busted not too long ago, didn't you, Dean?
Well, it's been about a year since you and I spoke, I think, right?
Yeah.
So there's been two incidents actually since then now, two major incidents. So, yeah. But all in my favor. But we can get onto that later. But if we want to talk about Syria a little bit too, I've been actually keeping very close tabs on that situation myself. So I wouldn't mind getting involved in a little bit of that as well.
All right, excellent. Everybody likes tabs. Now, Suzanne.
Yes.
If you would be so kind as to lay us on it, because I know that you're an incredible researcher and that Syria is a very serious situation and it's very Assad. So please go right ahead.
Well, I was asking myself why. What did Assad do? We knew that Saddam Hussein was starting the same kind of thing that Gaddafi was doing, wasn't playing ball. And so we took both of those men out. Mainly with Gaddafi, it had to do with the dinar. But what had Assad done? I didn't hear anything about him starting his own currency or working with the BRICS nations or anything like that. So I had to figure out what the Syrian the country of Syria has that they want so badly. And when I looked at Israel just found a Leviathan field, is what they're calling it. And it is a huge, huge untapped natural gas resource. Huge. It's enough for them to have their own, which would make them energy independent. They would be able to supplement with a little bit of petrol and a little bit of coal, whereas right now they do it the other way around because they buy their natural gas from other countries. And this Leviathan field, which is about to be developed, and the company that's doing it is Noble Energy, and that's important. The Leviathan field bumps right up against Cyprus and their edge of territory where their natural gas reserves are, and those are also untapped, and they haven't been developed yet. So Syria had decided a couple of years ago that they were going to set up a pipeline with Iran and Iraq. And they signed a deal in 2011. And this would give them a pipeline that went straight to the Mediterranean Sea, starting in Iraq. Syria would be right in the middle of it. And this would give them the ability to rise as the third largest natural gas provider on the planet. And they would be able to service the European area, Southeast Asia, Russia, and China, and become the premier provider of natural gas. So Israel really doesn't want that because they have enough natural gas to not only take care of themselves for the next 200 years, but also export and make a huge amount of money. In the initial estimates of the area, it was insured at over $700 billion. It's worth over $700 billion. And that's just initial estimates. They expect that over time, when they start developing the area, that they'll find more and more of it. So they signed a deal with Turkey and Jordan, and they wanted Syria to jump on board. And Syria decided to go in favor of the other pipeline with Iran and Iraq, and not Israel. So I said, okay, that's what it is. It's natural gas. And then I started to realize everything that they've been doing to take out all of their competition around the world. And we've seen these instances as isolated incidents, and they're not. In fact, it reminded me, it hit me like a ton of pricks. You know, we forget, or people like me who are journalists forget that we're covering these stories and they're all interconnected. Every single thing that happens that makes the news, and a lot of the things that don't, but especially the things that make the news in the mainstream, those are the things that are influential. And every single instance is tied to each other. Every incident is tied to each other. Every time they put out a report about something, then all of a sudden it turns into the American Pediatrics Society says that kids are obese. And then the DSM comes out, and the AHA comes out and says that it's a disease. And so pharmaceuticals are now being made because these children are fat and they need to take pharmaceuticals because it's a mental disorder, it's a disease. That's how this stuff works. And so the same thing with Syria and the quest to become the premier export for the entire globe is why Cyprus got attacked, why that money came out of the deposits, the customer accounts, when it was siphoned up to 90%, why we had the Boston bombing, why the Arab Spring happened in Egypt. There's something else I'm forgetting that's tied to it. The Trans-Pacific Partnership is tied to this. And especially with the Boston bombing, it blew me away to think that something that would never seem connected. And Cyprus, people taking, the technocrats taking money out of people's accounts had to do with the economic terrorism that Israel was imposing on Syria, on Cyprus, in order to get them to the point where they would, and they did, sign an agreement with the Israeli government to have Noble Energy, which I mentioned before, to come in and develop the natural gas reserves. So now Israel is in charge of their natural gas reserves. They're controlling it because Noble Energy has ties to the Israeli government. They're also doing the same thing in Greece. Greece also has natural gas deposits, and they have enough to be able to not become the most plentiful source, but definitely a contender on global markets. So they have to take these two competitors out, and they've done so through economic terrorism. Do you want me to keep going?
It's all sounding pretty much spot on.
So
yeah, keep going.
So what? One thing that I realized when I was digging into this was, oh my God, I remember I covered Cyprus, and I saw it as an isolated incident. So here I am thinking the technocrats are going to come in and take the money out of our accounts, and I'm not saying that they're not. But Cyprus was attacked specifically because its natural gas reserves, its territorial area, bumps up against the Leviathan. And when you're talking about the Mediterranean Sea, there's no marker in the middle of the sea for the place where you bought the area to say that this is mine. So it's easier for Israel to take over Cyprus and say, look, we're developing the Leviathan. You already, you're already beginning to develop your area and take the natural gas. And by the way, Cyprus, this is the brilliance of the Israeli government. They have Cyprus not only paying back the IMF and the European Central Bank for money that they don't owe, but they're also giving Noble Energy and the Israeli government through that corporation $10 billion to build the apparatus it would take to develop their area in the natural gas out of the seabed. So not only are they attacked economically and they are put in a position where they have to sell their resources in order to survive, and then they have to pay for it. That is that is just amazing. So they're doing the same thing with Greece and Cyprus. So Greece and Cyprus was part of this natural gas endeavor, and this has been going on for a really, really long, long time. So then
It sounds like they're really, really onto it with their business acumen here.
Well, yeah, they've got different, you know, we think of the actions of the technocrats about siphoning out wealth, and because they want to keep it all. But here, in this instance between Greece and Cyprus, it's plainly obvious the technocrats came in there not to siphon out the money because they wanted it, to siphon it out because through economic terrorism, Cyprus and Greece would be put in a position where they would be ready for takeover. It's like a hostile takeover. It's like a corporate hostile takeover. They go in there and they wait until you're down and on your luck and you need the money, and then they say, we're going to buy your company, there's nothing you can do about it, you're broke anyway, here's the money.
Whoa, this sounds exactly like the standard operating procedure of US Standard Oil back in the day when it was sweating out its competition. Exactly the same methodology.
I was going to say, let's not confuse brilliance with terrorism and just monstrous, disgusting behavior. There's a difference between brilliance and what they're doing. It's not brilliant if I kidnap somebody, put a gun to their head, and say, I'll let you go if you give me everything you own. That's not brilliant. That's terrorism.
I agree with you.
It is if you get away with it, and it's the perfect crime.
I guess, yeah.
The way in which they attack, when you think about the Arab Spring, you think of it a lot. Well, not you personally, but the majority of people think of it as I get in trouble with identifiers. I always talk directly to the person I'm talking to when I have to generalize, because I'm just used to personal talking. I'm not used to speaking to an audience. So I'm still learning, folks. I'm sorry. But when we look at those Arab Springs, we think, oh, well, they're rising up against their government. They need help. We'll come in there. It's all about regime change. And the purpose of the regime change is because the gentleman in power right now, who was put there by the people who are taking him out, is not working anymore. He got fired from his position. And the way to get him, he's not just going to leave the building and take his little box and his stapler home and put it in the car. We have to physically remove him from his station. So that's what a regime change is, essentially. And what Israel is doing to make sure that they don't have any competition in the Middle East for natural gas. They are taking out their competition in ways that are strategically suited for what they're doing.
We're coming to break now. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Dane Clifford and Suzanne Posel.
Speedway rappers, but I've never been edible. I'm a cracker, not a vegetable, fed to an extraterrestrial. The beat is so electrical, it'll pump your heart ventricles, but I bet you will eject it if I start getting intellectual.
Welcome back.
Credible, so until I can say I'm credible.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about being a credible, edible, extraterrestrial. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasted live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. You can check out the archives at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question, and Eastwood doesn't go ahead. Make my news. Incidentally made by another guy named Eastwood. And my very special guests, Suzanne Posel and Dean Clifford. It was kind of a last-minute thing. Dean's sort of notorious for not turning up, so I decided to cover my bases.
Hey.
I remember you told me that one time. It was like, yeah, he was actually early. He was actually early, early at the last minute. And what was you talking about? You told me that time that you missed Heinrich Palmgren at Red Ice Radio like thrice, I think.
No. It wasn't Heinrich. It was Angela Stark on Talk Show.
Oh, okay.
I actually missed her 3 times, and I felt awful. So we finally got a fourth figured out, and. Yeah, you know what? My life has just been so hectic the last 2 years. And I'm very bad with scheduling as it is. And now you throw anarchy into the equation. It was all I could do just to friggin' remember to eat for about 2 years there. So I've gotten much better now.
Yeah. Well, we'll give you some allowances because you do so much friggin' important work, bro.
I'm trying.
And in fact, somebody was emailing me this morning asking me what the kind of consequences are actually happening to people who do these kind of things that you do, and he's thinking about starting up. And I said to him, look, mate, it's not going to be easy. A lot of them do experience some consequences, you know. Some experience bankruptcy, some experience harassment by the police amidst the successes. So it doesn't matter how much I's you dot or T's you cross. There's always some kind of way the establishment comes at you because they really don't like it when you become free.
What happened to Martin Luther when he decided to stand up to the Catholic Church?
And my point to this guy was, it doesn't matter if they come after you for doing the right thing. The point of fact is, those who are doing the right thing and having this kind of terrible repercussions for their actions and so on and so forth, indeed pave the path for those who are yet to come.
That's absolutely correct.
And it's a noble endeavor, and I must applaud you for that.
That's their greatest fear, is that people will begin to start doing the right thing, to hell with the consequences. And that's actually a maxim of law. Let justice be done, though the heavens should fall. That's exactly what that means. Do justice, do really? Right, though the heavens should fall. So come what may, I'm going to do what's right. It's a maxim of law.
Hmm. Well, I think Syria is following the law then, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a reason I do it. It comes in handy once in a while.
Yeah. Now, today being 9/11, I was wondering what your perspectives on 9/11 were, Dan.
Oh, boy, you know what? I was still pretty naive back then. I remember thinking, oh, boy, someone's going to get it now when all that happened. And it didn't take long. I think within the first couple of months, we started getting into the whole 9/11, I don't know what you want to call it, conspiracy culture, which turns out to be that the conspiracists now are that 19 retarded hijackers were able to fly jetliners into the towers and bring down, 7 or 8 or 9 buildings in downtown New York, and a perfected missile strike on the Pentagon with a jetliner, and That just sounds nutty now, but I've been following this for a while back when people were saying that the planes were illusions and the pod people, and I've seen it all when it comes to 9/11. And my biggest thing with that is we all know who did it, who benefits. They got unlimited war. They got their military budgets approved. They wanted to take down 7 nations in the Middle East in 5 years, and That opened the pathway for everything they wanted to do. We know all about the dancing Israelis. We know all about the power downs in the 9/11 towers in the months leading up to 9/11. We know about the crews that were in there that were apparently installing cables and internet and a whole new security system, which means that they were in there wiring explosives. We know that Jeb Bush was owned the company, was in charge of security to make sure that no one was questioning all the people walking in there with explosives. Dogs were pulled out of the World Trade Centers months in advance to make sure that they didn't smell any of the bombs were being brought in. We know exactly who did it. It's not rocket science. I'm just glad that exactly how it was done. I mean, geez, it's pretty easy to keep a lot of people in the dark. I mean, just look at the IRS. They've got an entire organization of people that have no idea that the Income Tax Act is completely unenforceable. Yet we have SWAT teams taking down farmers for not paying income taxes. So it's easy to keep people in the dark. I think people have finally been able to look themselves in the mirror in the last year or so, maybe even more recent than that now, and realize they've been duped, realize that they've been made fools with their patriotic nonsense. They're starting to rethink things like 9/11, especially in light of the fact that the U.S. government has basically declassified all the documents that every false flag they've ever done, including the lead into a Vietnam. You know, I think Americans are finally starting to get it, that their government is not there to help them. Their government doesn't like them. Their government is actually probably at war with them, and they've come to terms with that, and I think it's time to finally start doing something about it now.
What exactly can we do about 9/11 being an inside job like 13 years ago or so on and so forth, and the criminals and government now ruling over your life with absolute impunity and being able to surveil everything that you do and drone strike you if they don't like it under the NDAA?
Well, again, there's only so many people that really know what's going on at the very top. That's how they're able to get away with what they're able to do. Most of the military actually really believes they're doing something good around the world. And I think getting the information out there is one of the most important things. Getting people informed in a realistic way and leaving the reptilians and the pod people out of it and just sticking to facts and things that are easily provable and within the realm of mainstream thought, if you want to call it that. I think the rise of the independent media and the alternative media is going to be the master stroke here, the coup de grace. There's no question. I'm all over supporting people like Abby Martin online, who's big into this kind of stuff. The biggest problem is that the media has been owned by the same people doing all this stuff now for 60, 70 years plus, even going back to World War II and before World War II. So while they're carrying out all their crimes around the world, the media is talking about Miss Alabama or something else, right? They're there to distract us. And with the rise of the alternative media, people are now more aware of what's going on around the world and not just right in the continental United States, which is kind of the core of the problem. Most Americans were so deluded and deceived and uneducated and misinformed that It used to be just pathetic. I used to go on vacation in Mexico and we'd talk to Americans and we'd come back from our vacation going, can you believe how fucking dumb those people were? And I feel bad now because...
Sorry, I apologize to the affiliates for the language. We're not allowed to say that on here.
Oh, that's even right. Yeah, sorry.
Even if it's the truth. When I was 14, Mum took me to Disneyland and I was talking to Americans when I was in L.A. And I came to the exact same conclusion. Can you believe how fracking stupid these people are? Oh my God, I love your accent. Where are you from? And it's like, I'm from New Zealand. And they go, oh, really? Is that like Australia? Did you have a long drive? Oh my God.
Vinny, how many Americans I've met that didn't know where Canada was, you would not believe it.
Oh, no. There's actually 1 in 7 Americans don't even know where America is.
Yes. And so, yeah, I used to not be able to believe. So it's no wonder they're as deceived as they are. They'll believe anything because they don't know anything. And that's not their fault. That's a product of their school system, the media, the government lying to them for generations now. It's really quite sad. So I think one of the things we got to do is really got to bring a lot of people up to speed on what's going on around the world. And I think that's starting to happen now. I think they've realized they can't trust their media. They can't trust their government. They can't trust their schools. They better get online and start learning for themselves. And they're starting to. And it's been a mass awakening in the United States. It's good. When it finally hits The critical mass point here, if people thought the Arab Spring was something, just wait. So they got to be a little panicked right down in the United States there right now in old Washington, D.C. there with the speed with which people are starting to waken up. I think they thought they had all lulled us into unconscious stupidity for the next millennia. And the Internet's really helped to wake that up. The alternative media reporters. I've spoken to so many reporters over the last little while, even ones that are still in the mainstream media, and they've told me themselves off the record they are so sick of what passes for reporting these days and integrity in reporting, and they have no say in it at all if they want to keep their jobs. They just pass whatever they report on up to their producers. Their producer says yay or nay because their producer has been told by the owners that if they print anything like this, they're fired. You're only going to print stories like this. It's so controlled, it's sickening. So we're starting to win.
You were talking earlier about how people are distracted by these beauty pageants and all the disinformation. I was thinking, you know, we should actually have a truther beauty pageant, like really hot truther girls and stuff like that get out there in the bikinis, and we can call it the misinformation contest.
We need to. We actually need media that's not just nothing but doom and gloom and boring on our side. I'm actually glad you brought that up. We need exciting stuff, stuff that people actually want to come to see, because the reason what they turn to mainstream TV is because they just want some happiness and to be left alone and be cheered up at the end of the day. They're already so sick of their crap job, their crap life. Their mortgage, they're in debt up to their eyeballs, they have no money, nothing to do, their family life sucks because there's no family unit anymore. They just want to turn on the TV and forget about this stuff. And so to think that we're going to bring those people to our side by bringing them doom and gloom and news that they've got to fight even harder and expect things to get worse before they get better, good luck with that.
Yeah, you know, that's unfortunately reality TV in a nutshell, isn't it? This is the
yes,
reality, ladies and
gentlemen.
I'm
so sick of my life, I would rather watch somebody else's.
Now, television itself has been like the bane of the existence of the American population. Apparently, Americans watch television up to 8 hours a day. And I was just thinking, frack, imagine how much, that's a whole day of work that you've just wasted sitting in a dreamlike state.
Well, it's actually worse than wasted. You actually are becoming more brainwashed and more detached from reality every time you spend 8 hours watching TV. I mean, think about it. You're actually living inside whatever is coming out of your television programming. You're no longer able to even differentiate between reality and fiction. In fact, fiction is more real to you than reality, and you can't wait to get back to it. So it's not just doing nothing, it's actually doing incredibly bad things.
Yeah, like they say on network, people believe what they see on television. They think what's on TV is real and that their own lives are unreal. And it's not true. The people are the real thing and we are the illusion.
What a brilliant movie. I post that clip on my Facebook page probably every other month just to remind people of the prophetic words in that movie.
Now, Susanna, have you got something to add in here? You've been kind of silent listening.
Oh, yes. You guys are brilliant. I'm just listening. No, I absolutely agree with you. It's multi-generational. Everything that our parents taught us was a program, and everything that their parents taught them was a program, and it goes back 80 years as far as turning us from a needs culture to a desire culture, which has multiple effects. It's not just the rise of consumerism, but it's also the foundation for dumbing us down, because as we become more dependent on our gadgets and our conveniences, we don't pass on the idea of canning or the idea of growing your own food and how to care for the plants, how to take care of animals, how to sew a button on back onto your shirt. How my mother made my clothes when I was my daughter's age, and she made my barrettes. She made them with ribbons and beads and everything except my shoes and my underwear were and she washed them. You know, she had, and I had like a little duck pin. I remember that little duck pin. These things, as soon as conveniences came along and they became more and more popular, we became more and more dependent. We started going to tech colleges instead of getting 4-year university degrees in thought and philosophy and learning and critical thinking and logic. And now you just go online and you go to University of Phoenix and all of a sudden you've got all this tech knowledge, and it's an assembly line job. It's just they took the assembly line out, so you don't see it, but you're still a slave going to an assembly line job, and you hate it, and you can't figure out why. And if you just take a step back and think about maybe why you stand in line for 5 hours or a couple of days for this latest gadget that you're going to pay like $300 for your own tyranny, when you know that your government is using that device to spy on you.
Isn't that interesting how since the time of Henry Ford, we've come from a machine rolling along the assembly line and humans attaching it and building it to humans going along the assembly line and machines attaching us and building us up into something.
Oh, yep. Yeah. It's not
the only step left is the machines killing us. That's the only one left.
Oh, no, yeah, we're already at that now, bro.
Drones. Wait a minute. We already got that. Skynet's already got its friggin' drones in the air.
Well, you know, what's interesting is all of this technology for autonomous robots really begins with the Nazis in World War II. They had the Goliath. And even though it was attached with a wire, it was a mobile mine. And they could program the location, the coordinates. It would go there and then blow itself up, detonate. And all of our robotics is based on Goliath, based on the Nazi technology. And then, now, when I think about that, I also think about the fact that we employed some other Nazis who didn't get, you know, hung out to dry during the Nuremberg trials, that fake sham that it was. And we used their expertise to develop all these other things that, again, are being used against us.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
I got some so-called friends.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the final segment of the first hour. My very special guests are Dean Clifford and Suzanne Posel. And we were talking over the break about how dumbed down everybody has become, that basically you need to teach everybody things from scratch now, like how to speak English, how to spell, how to cook, how to sew, how to grow food, how to tie their fracking shoelace. I mean, people are so freaking retarded everywhere. It's almost like we need some form of a mass telethon, you know, and just waltz all these idiots up on stage and go, "I'm so dumb. I don't know how to. I don't even know how to cook rice." So on and so forth. There's got to be some way of reversing this mass stupidity. And I don't think the answer is mass mind control, really. You know, and that's basically the whole reason why we've gotten into this freaking situation in the first freaking place. Damn it.
I was going to say, I think that was the cause of all this, actually.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say that the one step that everybody needs to do is take everything in your home that has fluoride in it and throw it in the garbage right now and do not replace it.
No, Suzanne, that's bad advice, because then you're dumping hazardous chemical waste into landfill.
Yeah, exactly. The old landfill was your body.
Yeah. I mean,
burn it maybe?
The only way that fluoride can actually be returned into the environment is if it's cycled through human kidneys. Did you know that?
That actually makes a lot of sense to me, because it seems to be that that's the way that they're doing it. Most people, yeah, if everybody knew that it was actually a highly toxic industrial waste, that it turned out it was far cheaper instead of processing it and trying to get rid of it, that if they made us eat it, our bodies processed it very nicely. Well, actually, I'd say they might be shocked by that, but they just wouldn't believe you. So,
And you were talking about how in Winnipeg, which I believe is the where clotheslines originated, there's now up to 50 people like coming out and protesting fluoride, whereas a couple of years ago, even there was just nothing.
People are actually starting to get it, and fluoride's a good stepping stone, okay. I attack the other angle there. I'm big on the law stuff and making sure that people correct their status with their citizenship and whatnot so they can restore their rights, so that when you go to protest, you actually have the right to do it again, because most people don't right now. And that's one of the things I like to concentrate on. Hats off to all the people out there that are starting to at least raise awareness as to what fluoride is. In terms of how damaging fluoride is, well, I mean, just look at what you do with every other aspect of your daily life. I mean, you're doing 100 other things that are just as bad to your body. All the propyl alcohols and the formaldehydes and everything you're consuming that's in all processed food. Just getting rid of fluoride is not going to do it. It's a toxic cocktail of everything you eat in mass-produced food, fast food, everything. That's only one step, the fluoride. It's a real bad one, but there's others that are equally as bad. Vaccinations in children, I mean, they're getting you before you're even 8 months old now. You don't have time to brush your teeth to get fluoride poisoning because they've already jammed you full of formaldehyde and mercury when you were 8 months old and younger. That's if you lived through it, you didn't get shaken baby syndrome and die from a reaction to the vaccinations, which landed your father in jail for killing you.
Well, you know what I find interesting is there's a lot of people who specialize in one thing and they know a lot about it, and it's wonderful that they do that. But by focusing on one thing, it becomes the end and be all of what is supposed to be maybe the kickoff or the only thing that you should do, which would encompass changing every other aspect of yourself. But the psychology of the public has been geared toward consuming things that are shiny and pretty and doing things in incremental stages. It's the same thing that we do with children. They're doing it with adults on a mass scale because our society as a culture has been conditioned to do this. That's why we have throwaway items. That's why throwaway items work so well in American consumerist culture, because we are conditioned to have quick fixes and do everything in small increments.
Well, that way I can spend more time watching TV.
So by taking possibly a list of things that we know are bad for us, and right off the bat, changing the things that we can change incrementally, there would be a huge shift of consciousness simply by maybe not changing the complete consumerism ideology that's been jammed into our heads for the last 80 years. However, what we consume and how we consume it would change, and it would change underneath everything that's going on top. So you would maybe start with stop chewing gum because it has aspartame. And then you would move to maybe not buying GMO or any product that purchases or uses GMO, and getting a list for yourself of those products and learning how to supplement them. Maybe going to a co-op and start exploring purchasing directly from local farmers. Maybe end up going to the farmer's market and getting comfortable with that, and moving your way into maybe purchasing a CSA box so you can purchase directly from the farmer so they don't have to pay all the fees to get to the market to market to you. And then you would maybe take that to your home and get brave and go and buy some fertilizer, hopefully not Roundup, but neem, some pearl and peat moss, and start planting your own things. All of these things take stages. We haven't gotten to where we are overnight. This is many, many, many long decades and centuries of where we are just now, to have us in the midst of technology, and that, like we were saying earlier, to be in the midst of a dark age. We have all of this technology and all these advancements around us, and we're too stupid to understand what to do and how to utilize
something
everything.
That's something that Albert Einstein said. He says there will be a point where technology will become so advanced that it'll just leave people behind. And when that happens, America will become a nation of idiots.
Welcome. How ironic is that? We've never had access to more and faster information ever. Knowledge is literally at the tip of your fingers. Actually, no, not knowledge. Information, because knowledge is the information applied. But all this information is right at your fingertips. But we've never been more incompetent. We've never known less than what we know right now.
Well, we've lost the ability to be wise. We do not have a culture where our grandparents used to live with us, and we used to live amongst our family. Now it's acceptable and it's expected that your children live on the other side of the country, or if not in another country, that grandparents never see their grandchildren, that traditions in families are not passed down except for when that person dies and wills it to you. And children don't grow up with their grandparents, so they don't have a generational understanding of what happened before their parents and what life was like back then. And we've removed all of those. So it has a profound effect.
We're taught on MTV and on TV programming that we're supposed to hate our parents by the time we're 16 at least. And we're supposed to either run away or move out at least by the time we're 18. If you're at home after the age of 18, you're a loser. So you better move out right away. You're supposed to hate your parents and not associate with them at all. Or what are they? You're supposed to call them parental units. And so that's just the way things are supposed to be now. I thought you knew that.
No, I decided to stay home.
And you are behind in the times.
And I'm learning how to can for the winter. I don't know how to do that, but learn how to chop my own wood and take care of animals and do some farming and homeschool my kids and don't vaccinate and do natural homeopathic medicine. Food is our medicine first and foremost. Herbs come after, and then I'm way behind the times.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like it. That's very 19th century. I'm a little disappointed.
I know. My mother burned her bras in the 60s, and I turned out like this. I'm a huge disappointment.
Yeah, I know. You actually take care of your kids and take your responsibilities as a woman and a mother seriously. I mean, you're just a shame to the feminist order of Rockefeller brainwashing and mind control.
If your kids are not in a foster home yet, then you are not an American.
Yeah,
no,
if you're not divorced yet, you're just not part of the majority. And if you're not part of the majority,
kids belong to my husband. It's not like there's children from a previous marriage or anything like that. We're all together. So, that's also really crazy, isn't it?
So we might as well sum up the whole first hour here and say that if people want to know what the problem is and then how to start fixing it, you might as well basically just counter with, well, where do you want to start?
Yeah, and because there is no end to it, only a beginning. And that's the interesting thing, isn't it? There's so many problems that it's endless, and people can't solve all of them, at least not right away. So it's essentially, what is your interest? Firstly, it's kind of like the AA meetings. You know, first you've got to admit that you're an alcoholic. Just admit it, ladies and gentlemen. You're a moron.
I admitted it
many years ago. I said to myself, you know, like, Vinny, you're actually a moron, bro. You think you're smart, you think you know all the stuff and everything, but you don't actually know jack. And the only way you're ever going to get any more intelligent, Vinny, is if you shut the frack up, start listening, and start realizing how freaking stupid you are. That's how dumb we all are, is we don't know how dumb we are.
See, the last number of shows I've done, everybody always wants to know, like, who's the evil one out there that they're supposed to be fighting? Well, who is it that we're going to take down? Which bankster is it? How are we going to fix all this? Because, well, and you know, point us in the direction. Who we should be mad at? Who's the problem here? And I tell them, well, I said, this is a two-step solution. One morning, you're going to wake up. So let's start tomorrow morning. And you're going to go to the bathroom. And you're going to get in front of the mirror. And you're going to look in the mirror. And you're going to recognize that you are the problem to everything that's going on in the world right now. You are the problem. Period.
Yeah.
And then the second day, you're going to wake up.
Responsibility.
And you're going to walk into the bathroom. And you're going to look in the mirror. And you're going to look at the guy that is the only one in this world that's going to fix it for you.
Yeah, you are both the problem and the problem solver
and the solution.
That's a profound bit of wisdom there, Dane.
Yeah, I pull those out of my butt every once in a while. Look at that! I even didn't swear. I am trainable, even.
Well,
I know,
it's
shocking.
You can teach an old Clifford new tricks.
Yeah,
big red dog.
So no, we are the problem, so we're just getting everybody else to realize that. I realized that was the problem a few years back, and I started taking matters into my own hand and didn't wait for someone else to come save me, or a government to save me, or the next guru in law to come save me, because I realized none of them were going to save me. I'm the only one that can save me, and I'm the only one that can fix this planet. So I started right back at that. And things never went better as soon as I realized that and started taking control.
We're coming to break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.